Hey, Michael.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm doing
good.
All right.
Good.
Wanted to talk today about... first of all, I think I discussed on a previous episode that I have been trying to come up with, for lack of a better term, things... subjects of meditation and thought for every week. So while certainly I think about a million things in the course of a day, let alone a week, there's a certain topic that I've kind of highlighted, that I've written down, and that I've thought about or I've written about, that I'm trying to just sit with, as they say in the meditation circles.
Right.
And,
okay.
And so I've been thinking a lot this week about philosophy, especially as it applies to the products that we use. Because I believe that all products have a philosophy, no matter what they are, even the most mundane ones. There's a philosophy there, and that is apparent in the way that they look, or the way that they feel, or their color, or the way that their purpose. But there's a philosophy there.
I feel like this ties in a little bit with a discussion that we had with Matthew Bischoff of Quotebook, because we were talking about software having, I don't know if philosophy was the word that we used. But like there being a story, the software story, I think the episode was called.
Yeah.
Is it kind of along those sort of lines?
It is along those lines. I think a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I think this recent hubbub over something as mundane as a mute switch.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Is proof that... Number one, all software, all hardware, even features have a philosophy behind them. And that one can either agree with that philosophy or not. But the way that they work, or the way that, that particular feature in this very specific instance works, is based on a philosophy.
I think, right. like a practical way of thinking of it is somebody has to make the decision, right? Regardless of whether to do it by focus group or whatever, somebody makes a decision about a feature or something or a product. Mm-hmm. So I guess that person's philosophy is, or their philosophies are what builds that into the app or service or product.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. And I think that that's something that we don't often think about, that we don't, that we can argue about the details and the rights and the wrongs and all of this other stuff, but at the end of the day, does it really matter? Does it really, really matter that you don't agree with the way the mute switch works and that you think Apple's doing it wrong? I think the deeper question is, if you think that Apple's doing it wrong, then maybe there's other areas of their philosophy that you don't agree with, and maybe you may want to consider not using an Apple product.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this particular case, I'll tell you exactly the philosophy behind that mute switch. Now, I haven't talked to anyone at Apple specifically or personally about this, or anyone who would know what the philosophy is, but I don't have to, because like I said, the philosophy, to me, in all products... is generally very obvious. In this case, the mute switch should mean mute, except for in those cases where the user has asked it not to mute. In other words, I turn on the mute switch, I expect it to be mute, until I say, except I want to hear this alarm at this time, or I expect to hear sound when I push this button to play this video, despite the fact that the mute switch is active. Or I want to hear music when I press play out of the speakers, despite whatever this hardware switch on the side says. because in that particular, in those examples, you are asking it, you're specifically asking it to override what you've told it to do.
Yeah.
And that was the case with Mr. goes off in the middle of the Philharmonic and conductor stops the concert and comes down and approaches him and he's like, you know, I don't know how to make it stop.
Please, someone help me.
There's an easy workaround, folks. Turn it off. Turn the phone off.
Here is my question. Now, I don't know if anybody has checked this. Will the iPhone turn on for an alarm?
No.
You sure of that?
I am sure of that.
Okay. Because there are many phones that do, and all phones have a reserve battery in them because they have to keep the clock. Now, some phones use this also to keep an alarm and will turn the phone on during the alarm. So if the alarm goes off, they will turn that on.
Well, and here's a workaround for that. Leave it at home. Now, I know that sounds crazy to you, Michael.
It does.
And I'll even say that that's not a choice I would necessarily make, but mainly because of if I'm going out to a concert of that nature, I'm likely not bringing my little girl. My little girl is likely going to be at home with somebody else. And should there be an emergency...
You need to know.
I need to know. And I don't care what movement of whatever symphony is playing. If my need to know means that my phone has to go off and bother everyone else around me, I guarantee you I will not care.
You'll remember it all the way to the bank.
I'll remember it all the way to the hospital if there's a problem with my little girl, right? You know? And so, I guess the point is that when you're making the choice to use, in this instance, an iPhone, your use of said iPhone is complying to a philosophy, several philosophies, and several decisions that have been made, you know, thousands of tiny little decisions that have been made about the way that that works. And the way it should work, and in what cases it should work differently, and this sort of thing. And that I think it's important to remember that. In the same way that when you buy a Coca-Cola, you're buying a philosophy that is different than buying a Pepsi. Mm-hmm. You are somehow participating in a philosophy that is going to be different than any other cola that you buy, right? Because Coca-Cola has a particular philosophy about their product and about what their product implies. And Pepsi, just by nature being the number two brand, has a very different philosophy about their product and what the use of their product implies, right? There's a philosophy there. And you think you're just drinking a cola. Well, yeah, you are, but you also are in some way supporting this idea, this philosophy, this company, the thousands of choices that went into tweaking the recipe this way or the other way along the way, the keeping the recipe secret so that no one else can make a Coke that tastes exactly like a Coke. But you're buying into these things, right? And that the only way around this is to make it yourself. But even then, now it has your philosophy. Now anyone that has your Coke that you made on your stove is in some small way participating in the philosophy that a Coke should be made that way. And should be made that way for these reasons. all of which comply with a philosophy. Does this make sense?
Perfect sense. Because I can kind of put that back to the network, right? That I have my own strict rules and philosophies for how the shows are made and what sort of content I want to put in them and the people that I want to do them with.
Right.
And these are things that I won't stray from because that's what makes our network pirate radio.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, as one of our listeners referred to it as, and I think he's spot on, right? Yeah. I think that the reason why he came up with that and he feels that way is because at some level, that's part of your philosophy. At some level, you're communicating that to him,
mm-hmm.
or at least he's reading your philosophy that way. But regardless, even those that listen are listening by their listening, they are complying to, they are agreeing with, they are in some way supporting a philosophy.
Just we spoke about this on Cooking With, but it came from an email from a listener, Tony Junta, who kind of said that where some podcasts and some networks feel like a commercial type of deal, us at 70 Decibels, we still have that like pirate radio edgy feel to it where we kind of say what we feel needs to be said and don't get worried about upsetting people. And like, I don't worry about disagreeing with you, right?
Right.
Anyone hence, Tweetbot and Twitterific.
Tweetbot and Twitterific, all right, yeah. And so, yeah, and I agree with that completely. And I think, you know, he's reading that correctly. Would you say so?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I've never even thought of it in those terms. And I almost want to turn the Cooking With logo into a Jolly Roger now to hang somewhere in my recording studio.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think ultimately, whatever the argument meme of the moment is,
comments.
Oh my gosh! If I never had to hear about comments or mute switches,
oh, I know,
for the rest of my life, I would be perfectly happy with that.
Pat, because, I'm going to share. I've spoken about this already, so I'm sorry for repeating myself. But I don't know if you may have seen a tweet that I was quite proud of a couple of days ago, where I said that maybe if all of these bloggers had comments, then they wouldn't all have to keep posting on their own blogs about the mute switches. They could just all post on MG Siegler's blog and then leave the rest of us out of it.
Yeah, no kidding. Gosh.
But now again, we're contributing towards the discussion, right? I hope that we're doing it slightly differently.
Well, I mean, I guess all I'm bringing it to it is that comments on or off is all about a philosophy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about a philosophy of whether or not you consider people's ability to directly comment on your site pertaining to the things that you write about and care about, whether your philosophy is that that's an equal part of that discussion and conversation and spreading of ideas or not. And if you don't feel that they're an equal part and you have comments on, I'd examine that philosophy.
Hmm.
If you do feel that they're an equal part and have comments on, that makes sense within that philosophy to me. And of course, it's just me. What makes sense to me doesn't matter from Adam. So, just you have them on and you don't. Mm-hmm. And whether you do or not informs the philosophy of what you're trying to put across. And when I go to a site and I see comments on or off, that tells me a little bit something about the philosophy of the site's owner. And that's not to say I agree with it or disagree with it or anything. I'm just saying that that's a philosophy. And that by going and reading the site and reading through the comments, I'm participating and in some small way supporting that philosophy. And that's okay. And that I don't have to do that in every case, right? Because, hey, there may be some sites I go to where the comments are interesting and informative and a valid and great part of the conversation. It could be that the answer I'm looking for is, in fact, not in the actual post, but in the comments, right? And in that case, the comments are extremely valuable and useful. And in some other cases, they're not. And I may decide to participate in that philosophy on a case-by-case basis, but make no mistake about it, it's a philosophy one way or the other. And I think it's important that we recognize, you know, the philosophy that's there. One of the, so I have coffee every Monday morning with a good friend of mine who is a, who's a programmer and a developer, a software developer. And one of the things that has come out of our conversations in recent months has been the idea that all software should come with a philosophy.txt. Like right next to the README file, or maybe even as instead of the README file, even more valid than a README file or, you know, some credits in some about box would be a philosophy.txt file, which basically would explain, here's this software, here's why I built it, here's what its intended purpose is, here's why I included this feature, that feature, the other feature that's important. And I hope you enjoy it too. And if you find another way that use it that suits you, great, and let me know about it, and I'm happy to hear. Whatever. But you get what I'm saying, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this, I'd like to know the story behind the software and what led the developer to make it such. You know, it was extremely fascinating to me, for instance, to talk to Brett Terpster recently. We actually had
so
about
jealous
an hour
of that, by the way. Just yeah. Let you know.
Yeah, he's just a wonderful guy and lives here in Minnesota, but he lives in a town, you know, a couple hours away. And so he was in between. Had just arrived home. He was about to arrived into the Twin Cities, about to drive back home. We had about an hour for coffee. But in that hour, in just a few minutes that we had to talk about it, I learned so much about Markt, for instance, and the reason why he made it, and the kind of the philosophy behind it, which caused me immediately to increase my use of it.
Yeah, because he's coming back on the bro show soon.
Yeah.
He's a really, really good guy.
Yeah. And so that's all I'm trying to say here, folks. Pay attention to the philosophy of the stuff that you use. Question the philosophy and say, hey, is this philosophy aligned with mine? And if not, is there something better suited that does? It really is that simple.
Cool.
So, well, thanks for listening to me rant.
No, I enjoy it.
As usual.
That's why I originally said, Patrick, will you do a podcast with me, please?
So you can sit and listen to me rant about such esoteric subjects. Ah, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate the fact that you do them.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, enough on that subject. We got plenty of other things to talk about in the future.
We do.
All right. We'll talk later, mate.
We will, mate. Cheers.
Cheers.